I am Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
You won this round. I'm handing it to you. It's fine. I'm not a sore loser. Bacon won the round. Here's how. My children recommended this show that they're watching, and it's called Sugar Rush or something. It's on Netflix. It's a cooking competition thing, and they make the cupcakes, and then they make the confections, and then they make the cake. I watched 15 minutes of it. Frankly, it's too stressful for me. I'm a huge fan of carbohydrates. I'm just, it's too stressful to watch the time crunch of it all. But in the first round, where they're making the cupcakes, four teams, two of them put bacon in the cupcakes. One prosciutto, which is a fancy pants way of saying bacon. Can we face this, please? Can we just agree on that finally? The Italians, you can try to fancy it up as much as you want. Prosciutto is freaking bacon. We know it, you know it. So just call it ham smoked. That's okay. Can we get past? Good. Secondly, bacon in the cupcakes. What is going on with that? Bacon has achieved a level of resurgence and popularity unparalleled, I think. And I'm looking around. I've seen bumper stickers with bacon on it. People are really they want to express themselves. And I'm all for that kind of expression. I think if you love bacon, you should put it on a bumper sticker. I mean, how are we to know that you love bacon or not unless you put it on your bumper? If I am driving down Highway 1 and I'm behind you and you don't have a bumper sticker that says bacon, I literally have no idea if you love bacon that much. I mean, I cannot know. Unless you're driving a Dodge Charger. Anybody driving a Dodge Charger, I did not mean to make assumptions based on your choice of cars. 1 minute, 2 minutes into this podcast off the rails. Bacon won the day. And I sometimes think I see these kinds of things and I go, okay, I got to figure out the marketing of this. I got to figure out if I could tap into that success in terms of pure marketing genius, then maybe I could take those tools and use them to market the work that I do, which I'm self-admittedly just not good at, don't have any interest in it. I hate it. I know I need to do better at it. But then I remember that essentially it's dealing drugs and I don't deal drugs. So I can't take the tools. It's not like it's a restaurant that, you know, has to brand and be competitive with other restaurants. It's bacon that can be, it's like saying cocaine is fantastic. And then, you know, if particular people have cocaine stores, they can compete amongst themselves. But the success of cocaine is in the fact that it gets you so high that you will become addicted to it. Dare I say, bacon, same thing. So it's like, there's no lessons in the marketing of bacon other than if I had a drug that I was marketing, I would have to do a lot less work. That'd be awesome. So bacon, you won this round. You won this round. The fight's not over, friend. The fight's not over. Mm. You won the battle, but you did not win the war, okay? Whoever wins the war is the one who doesn't die of a heart attack, starting now. So I do the YouTube. You guys know that. And on occasion, I get comments on my YouTube spine. And it comes in via email, and I used to respond to most, and now I am just busier, and I try to respond to many of the comments. But a comment came through my email the other day, and it was from an old video. It was when I did my first 50 miler. In fact, the title of the video is my first 50 miler. And a comment comes through on it, and it's like 4 years old or whatever, and 3 years old. And I'm like, who comments on this? And the comment said one word by some person. It just said narcissist. The comment, not he's a narcissist, this guy's a whatever. It just said narcissist. And I thought it was kind of funny and I responded. And I probably shouldn't have, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I usually don't engage that kind of stuff, but it was kind of. So here's what I did. And I only did it because I was so proud of myself of coming up with this response that my thing is like, I'm going to engage if it's fun for me and makes me smile and giggle like a four-year-old, then I'm balls out. I'm going for it. So I just said, oh my gosh, thank you so much for saying something about me. That's what I said. That's and I know it's a stupid joke, right? Because I'm a narcissist. But I thought it was funny, and he did. I'm assuming it's a male. Is that stereo? Is that just gender? Yeah, but it was 94.2% chance that that guy's a guy. And I just thought it was funny. Narcissist. He never responded. I was like, you know what? At least if you're gonna be a tool and throw down a negative review for no reason. I mean, it's a three-year-old video. Really? You're going to take the time? That time that you took to, first of all, Google how to spell narcissist, because I know you freaking did. I know you did. You did not know how to spell it, so you had to Google that. Then you had to type, you had to log in. Then you had to type it and hit return. That's 3 minutes of time that you could have done something positive in the world. I'm just saying, you just wasted your time. And I respond with something snarky and kind of funny to me, and you don't even have the freaking guts to come back at me. Nothing. Freaking wimp. Jeez. Mm. I'm just happy he said something about me. That's the only reason I do this stuff, you guys. It's the only reason I share my personal experiences, because I'm a freaking narcissist. I can't have kids. That's when my kids are starving and they like are unwashed and unshowered. I am all about me. That's all I do. I've been married 24 years. Lisa has not seen me for 23 years and 364 days. She saw me on our wedding day and night, and then I was like, honey, from now on, it's all about me, baby. You better buckle in, because you just signed on for 24 years of pain and beyond. I'm assuming we're staying married. Okay, John McCain died. John McCain died. Here's my thoughts on that. And the reason I'm talking about it is because I'm not a fan of John McCain per se. Sometimes I look in the world at, especially like actors or just people in the spotlight, and I'm trying to, and even in books like novel, like characters in novels, and I'm trying to get swept up into the art of it, let's say, but also attached to the values and sort of like what I love. I like to know what I love about character. Like I like to just take 5 seconds and go like, the reason I'm fascinated with this person is because XYZ. More on that later in this episode. But so John McCain is sort of like this, you know, the maverick. And I always thought that was a bunch of crap. I just did. But at the same time, kind of old school. And so there were things about him in the limited knowledge that I have of him. Never met him. Never wanted to. Don't care. Again, I'm more interested in sort of the perception of him and at least the certain glimpses of hope that he brought. Like, does everybody in these positions have to be a spineless freaking, or can some people actually behave honorably? So not 100%. I mean, so not 100%. I can't even tell you. Again, with my approach and focus is so to either chuck perfection out the window or at least redefine perfection. And I think to truly, honestly define perfection in terms of the human race would be to say, to incorporate mistakes and to incorporate bad judgments. It's who we are. The question is, to what extent do we try to avoid those mistakes, and to what extent do we try to fix them when we make them? Nobody's perfect. Clearly, in some realms like politics, it's like kind of, I wish it weren't so, non-perfect. You know what I mean? But here's a guy, long history. I'm not going to go too much into it, but you could look, there's a really good piece on him from The Daily, which is a podcast I've been listening to, the New York Times. In the morning, it's like 20 minutes, and usually I'm in the sauna, and I just kind of bust that out. And they did a good piece on him, and it was sort of the inconsistencies of his career, of times where he like almost completely sold out, but in other times he would kind of, and I don't know what motivated him, I don't know. I'm not going to fault him necessarily. I obviously have wishes that more people were principled than less, that to be sure. But I would prefer to focus on the positives and at least say that it's not all is lost. I guess for me, it's that. But it occurs to me, and he had been through a lot and in his, you know, getting captured and tortured for 5 freaking years. And I clearly got a sense, and this, again, I could be completely wrong, because I don't know the facts on him and I don't know his motivations, but I got the sense that he was sort of like, I'm over this bullshit. Like he just didn't, for him, it was like, I'm not going to bother with, I think he'd seen so much worse that like pettiness he just didn't like, he had enough courage to be like, look, I'm not going to, this is nuts. This guy, you know, like, I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty of like mundane, stupid, petty discussions and arguments, because he's sort of like, yeah, I've been through way worse than this. So this is stupid. But it occurs to me when I look more into the political system, at least in the United States, is how dangerous it is when weak people inhabit powerful positions. And this goes for virtually almost, well, it virtually almost every position. I'm not talking about one person. I really am not. I'm not talking about one person. I'm not talking about one party, for sure. My goodness. But in general, and there's this thing called the Peter Principle, if you guys have ever heard about it, but look it up if you haven't. And it's sort of this, there's actually a book on it, but there's a sort of idea that people are promoted past the point of their level of competence. Sort of like, you know, you do this really good job working as a cashier, and you're just like kicking ass, and you're friendly, and you're great, and it's awesome. And so you get promoted to supervisor, but you may not have the skills to be a supervisor, because being a supervisor isn't being a cashier. It's a different skill set entirely. But we sort of, in the corporate world and just in jobs in general, we sort of get promoted sometimes because we do an extremely good job at the thing that we're doing, but we get kicked up to a level that we're sort of now all of a sudden we're out of our element, and we're above our competency level, and problems ensue. And in the political spectrum, it's all too relevant, in my opinion, because it's being I think the way I look at it, it's populated by people who are in powerful jobs. They are handed really, really profoundly powerful jobs in the sense of what they can do and who they attract in terms of people that support them and give them money. And they're in these positions, right? But it doesn't speak to their character. And not only that, it doesn't. Sometimes when you're put into a powerful position, but not developed as a human being first, you are stunted at that point. You're the power of your position now removes any need to grow and evolve as a person to get to the point where you are actually incorporating what power truly is. And so you're sort of handed this thing. And when we're elected based on potentially ideas, but I think that ship's left the harbor. Like, a lot of it is just, you know, BS and kind of the back and forth and the vitriol and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to go into it too much, but we get elected, we're sort of handed a job, and we may not be ready for that. We, as the individual who gets elected, like, may, our ideas might be good and we sort of stand for certain things, but we may not have the strength of character to pull that off when we get going on the actual job. And it's scary. I think there's almost nothing scarier than a weak person in a powerful position. It's sort of that old, I think it was Voltaire who said, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think we're handing great power to people who are not able to be responsible enough to get to utilize that power and to exercise that power in ways that are potentially even based on their values. They just don't have the strength of character. That is a scary trend, in my opinion. And it's like having a powerful job, if you think about it, has literally nothing to do with a person being powerful. I mean, they can be powerful, but it's not the job title. That doesn't deliver it. Weakness, insecurity, cowardice do not go away with a job title. It doesn't, it becomes this kind of, you live the fake it till you make it. If you guys ever heard my last show, you know that chaps my hide. I mean, I have a hide, and it literally is chapped. I mean, I use chapstick all over my hide because of sayings like that and everything in moderation. Those things chap my hide. I mean, it's like I've been in the sun for 4 days. Shea butter also helps. Coconut oil, anything to get rid of the chapping of my hide is what I'll do. They don't go away with the job title. And here's the scary thing, is they can actually be exacerbated because these jackasses with no character, no honor, no dignity, start to think that because they have a powerful title, that they have these characteristics of strength, of true power, of courage. And they don't. And people around them, the yes people, you're so great, oh my God. And oh my God, I must be great because I'm so freaking insecure that I don't even know where true strength comes from. So if people are telling me I'm great, well, they must be right, because it's all about what people say and feel about me. That's got to be the thing. I mean, I'm a narcissist, so I can totally understand this. I know how this is. The scary thing, again, is that people kind of, they become stunted in their growth because they're too early handed something that they don't freaking deserve. Or better, more stated, okay, earn. Somebody deserves the job if they win the election. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying they haven't earned it. They haven't gotten to the point where they really are the people we want and need them to be. They can fake it. They can pretend. They can say all the right words during the election. And we go, oh my gosh. And it's a gamble, man. We go, well, I hope when they get elected, they're going to X, Y, Z. Most often they don't. I don't know what to do about it. I'm just saying, whatever. But a guy like John McCain, there are times in his career where he did the right thing, I think, according to him. And also, you can obviously tell that it was a decision he made that was not prudent in terms of the pathetic ways that most people make decisions in the political spectrum, which is, I have to go along with my party and I shouldn't do this. I can't go against people and the people that, you know, this kind of, it's not principled. Well, he made principled moves is all I'm saying. Was he perfect? No, not by a long shot. Do I agree with 90% of what he did? Nope, I don't. But I can respect glimpses and certain moves that are, at least as I perceive them, to be honorable and with dignity. I'm sad that he's gone because I feel like it's running out. The people that are in these positions that are both principled and strong enough to live them are running. We're running out. We're running out. And that's a disappointing thing for me. And I hope that his legacy, somehow people are inspired, maybe representatives are inspired to go like, well, you know, at the end of the day, I got to sleep at night. I think that's a good value. I think it's like, if you can sleep at night and go, I did what I think is right, then if people disagree with you or not, it's sort of, you know, if it's a true, honest place that you're in, everybody wins, really, even if you sort of disagree with somebody. But if they're the thinkers, you know, I talked about a few episodes ago, sort of moving it from the gut to the brain and going like, at the end of the day, I need to get clear because I do want to live a good life. I want to potentially make life better for others. Okay, fine. I'm a politician and I want to do these kinds of things, but I still believe it should be about you looking in the mirror and sleeping well at night. And I think I am probably naive in this sense, but I think if more people did that, life would be better. And it's not because I think that everybody's going to do exactly what I do or think they should do or whatever, but I just want principle. I want character. I want honor. I want to look out into the world and see more of that. I want to, even if I disagree, like I just want it. I just like, oh God, can I just respectfully disagree with somebody? It'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? If we could just respectfully disagree. Ooh. Cardi B. Did you guys not see... Did you expect a title of one of my podcasts to be Cardi? You know what? There's one thing that people have always described me as over the years, and that is I'm very street. They always say that Sid, he's very street. So on that note, Cardi B. Now, am I a fan of Cardi B? I'm a big fan of Cardi B. Sorry, but I am. Why am I apologizing? I'm a freaking fan of Cardi B. Much like John McCain, and I know you did not see that coming, but a singular entity. Cardi B is a singular entity. Now, what am I going to say here, right? I want to say this, and I'm going to be clear about this. I don't want to meet Cardi B. I have an idea of Cardi B that is wonderful for me, that is inspiring for me, and I don't want to meet her because there's a really good chance that she would let me down as a person because I have ideas about her. I've sort of idealized her. There's the word, get it? Like idealized? And that's how I want it. I don't want to, the people who are heroic to me or singular sort of independent, just like these, they're like ships, they're like independent ships that are like moving through and they're just so awesome and strong and great. And I don't want to like check it out. I don't want to look any further. My daughter showed me a Instagram post of Cardi B. I didn't know it was Cardi B. She goes, here, look at this. And it's this woman and she's showing these like $200 Gucci baby clothes. And I'm like, is that freaking Cardi B? And she's like, yeah. And I go, damn it. Cause it's like a letdown. It's like, I don't want to, now you're just talking about $200 Gucci baby clothes. That's That's not. So my idea of Cardi B is kind of set. And here's why I named this episode this thing. What I like about Cardi B, and trust me when I tell you there are songs of hers that I just will not let my children see. And I have to also tell you this, like a lot of people like really, they really censor things to their kids. And I have no judgment about that. You parent your kids the way you want to parent your kids. I'm going to say, as I did in my book, take care of yourself so you can parent them the way you want to parent them. I'm just going to throw that in there. Okay, but what I'm going to say is this. I censor a lot less in the art realm. I have let my children, even my 9-year-old twins, hear things that have words like swear words and things like that most parents would be like, I'm not telling my kids that. I don't want them to see that stuff. I don't want to hear it. It's not good for their ears. And to a certain extent, it may not be. My feeling on these kinds of things is, and in terms of just in speech in general, is the more you try to hide things, then they come out in nuttier nut ways. And so too with art. And so I'm not just playing it for them and going, okay, whatever you want to do with that. I'm going, here's some things like, here's a song and it has, and they ask like, oh, that's a swear word. I'm like, yes, some people use swear words in songs. And I'm not even talking about just hip hop. Obviously there's a ton of, I've used them in songs that I've written. I want them to understand that there's a difference between, first of all, between what you do in the artistic realm and what you do in everyday life. That's number one. And number two, I want them to understand that there's things that they might come across a lot that are appropriate for adults that aren't appropriate for kids. I would like them to know the difference instead of me sort of creating this magic aura around ideas and certain words that they can't touch. And that it's just this mystique. And then how's that going to come out? You tell me how that's going to come out. It's like drinking in Germany. Like I lived in Germany for a few months and I was living with a family and the kids would have like some beer, but, and they're like 14. They don't think it, like, it's not a big, it's not a thing. They didn't make it a thing. We made it a thing. And I'm not promoting drinking. I'm just saying when you make it a thing, then certain people are going to react by making that such an important, it's like a falsely important, it's empty. It's an empty paper bag. It's just whew, and we place importance on it, and then people go, oh my gosh, it must be this super important thing. I'm gonna sneak it. I'm gonna try to hint it. And I'd rather just sort of, in general, the more open, the better. So they've heard some Cardi B, some no, totally not. I mean, it's just a line I draw as a parent. I don't know. It's not objective. I'm not saying like track four should be never heard from by any child under 11, period. You know, I don't play that game. But for my kids, based on where they are, I'm testing the waters on some of this stuff. And to me, as a musician, I'm like, art is art. And I don't, it's just what it is. Why I'm talking about Cardi B today is because, first of all, I've idealized her sort of move from being a stripper, and then she look at her, you know, she's like, she dug herself out. Again, it's idealized. I don't know the deal. I don't know the particulars. I don't know, don't care. This is how I play with the modern world celebrities. This is how I have managed to figure out a way that works for me, is I don't want to know who they are, and I want to be inspired. I want to feel inspired by people, and there's a limit to how much I want to know about people, because I want to stay inspired. I want to go like that guy. And we make the mistake sometimes with celebrities where we want to meet them and we think it's a drug. That's a drug. It's the bacon of music, where you are idealizing somebody and you go, I want more of that. It makes me feel inspired and it's such a great story. I want to know more and I got to know them. I got to follow them on Instagram and I got to check out their social media. I want to know everything about them because they must be what I think that they are, and we can be let down because of that. We have to, much like in the food realm, weird relationship. This is not even the weirdest thing I've ever done, but just because coffee makes me feel good, clearly if I then say, oh, then coffee all day will make me feel better. It doesn't. There's a line for everything that brings us joy that we can then be too much. We go over that line and then the opposite occurs. And I think in my relationship with people in the media and everything else, I want to see heroes. I want to see them not because they're actually heroes. I just want to have that experience knowing that there's people out there who are principled and I want to be inspired by them in the true word of inspiration, which is that I go, this can exist. And I like knowing, and I want to find people like that. whether they are truly or not. I don't know. I get a sense. You get a sense. And that's all that matters for me. But Cardi B is, what I love about her is she is, to me, is the embodiment of how words can't, and it's, I guess it's partly, I have to say, like in hip hop in general, I've been listening to a lot more hip hop lately, just kind of introducing myself to things like Jay-Z. It wasn't really a world that I was getting into too much. Tribe Called Quest from years ago and things like that, but not really the way that I am now. And I love that the hip hop world has grabbed words back in a way. They have taken words and shown that there is actually no objectivity to offensiveness. There's words that are used sometimes in songs that were offensive to the very people potentially that are singing them now, and they're saying, you know what, I'm taking that back. It is no longer offensive to me, and I own it now. And I always think, what a great message. Like, how amazing of a statement is that? It's like, it tears down everything we think about this powerful entity that is a word. And when we realize, oh, wait, it doesn't exist outside of our minds, and we are in control of what that word does to us or not. And we have to remember that it is always our choice, conscious or not, to be offended. It is always our choice, whether it's conscious or not, to be offended. To be offended. It's a powerful position to understand that. Again, like, I'm going to take this back to, like, you don't need to work in a powerful position, but instead live from a powerful position. And that is saying, there are certain things I will not let offend me. And we oftentimes kind of give in to this, again, conscious or not, somehow this idea that words are objectively what they are, not how we use them and how we react to them. And that's what they are. They really are that way. And the more we can understand that, the less bent out of shape. For instance, that narcissist comment, I could have had my day ruined by that. I mean, I could have been really offended and really insulted that some guy decided to write narcissist. And maybe his name is Narcissist. Maybe he's like, Narcissist, that's who I am. And I just completely misread that. And I should write him back and go, hey, Narcissist, how are you? I don't know how I would respond to that comment. But I can be ruined by that. And I will tell you that many a day, especially in the music days, we'd get some bad review and it would tank me. And it's just a process of me going, like, you know, I'm not even getting into it. It's so boring. But bad reviews somehow tank us way worse than good reviews. We go, good review, we need 50 good reviews. And we go, yeah, cool, yeah, cool. And then one bad review, we're like, oh my God, we want perfection in that even too. I listen to Cardi B and I listen to the word, I don't relate to her story. I don't relate on a ground level, but I do relate on a human level. I relate on a hard work level. I relate on a taking the power back level. I relate on a not getting bent out of shape by certain things and being free to express level. I relate and am inspired on that level. And in the oddest of places, Cardi B would be like, you know, people don't go like, you know, that's Sid Garza-Hillman. I bet he loves Cardi B. But I'm listening to this stuff and I love it. I mean, I really love Cardi B. I love it because it is inappropriate at times. I love it because it's so her. She has got her own deal. So singular, so powerful, at least as I, again, interpret it. So I wanted to just bring that out this week and say, notice the times that we are offended. Notice the times that we let, because we do, that we let words dictate our feelings and our behaviors and our actions in the world, that we sometimes hand our power over to people who have actually, factually, no power over us, but we make it so by giving it out and saying, here, take it, I'll be offended by what you said, and I'll have to, you know, ruin my life because of something you said, instead of, it's something you said, but there's a big, huge chasm, divide between the word that comes out of your mouth and how it affects my brain, and it ain't getting to me. It's just not going to get to me. All right, I'm going to shut it down today. I'm going to shut this one down, and I'm going to thank everybody for the Patreon. I'm going to thank everybody for the review. I'm about to buy a new tripod. So just the Patreon people, it's not going into my, you know, Rolls Royce fund. Just telling you, tripod. I'm gonna bounce, and I say that because I'm very street. So I'm gonna bounce, and I'm gonna say this, and this is something I don't have to do this anymore. I want you to understand. I do not have to do this. I don't gotta dance. All right. Why, you ask? Because I'm making bloody moves.
If I lived on Phillips Avenue, things would be presented so simply, and if I lived on Phillips Avenue, I wouldn't have to beg for an unraveling. If I lived on Phillips Avenue, I'd walk around with a wall around me. I'd be blind and deaf and dumb at most things. I'd see more clearly than I've ever seen. And if I were you, maybe this would be untrue. And maybe problems lie so deep that they cannot be. Phillips Avenue, I wouldn't re-question these wrong decisions. But if I lived on Phillips Avenue, I'd be so satisfied you wouldn't even know me. You'd think I never needed. If I were you, maybe this would be untrue. And maybe problems lie so deep that they cannot be if I were you. Maybe this would be untrue. And maybe problems lie so deep that they cannot be. They cannot be. They cannot be. I lived on Phillips Avenue.